Now we're going to look at this work of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, gathering people together for eternal life, which is precisely the great account of that is Paul's travels. And so we're going to start looking now at Acts 13. There's an introductory verse, 14, and then it goes down to the text, which is in verse 43 and following. Paul and Barnabas. Okay. Paul and Barnabas continued on from Perga and reached Antioch in Pisidia. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and took their seats. Many Jews and worshippers, which is the way they translate it here, that is, people who were not yet, pagans, but who were affiliated with Judaism, and converts to Judaism. They followed Paul and Barnabas, who spoke to them and urged them to remain faithful to the grace of God. Then, on the following Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of God. You see, gathering a people for eternal life, it's the word of God. It's the news about Jesus Christ impressed on the spirit of those who hear it, that this is, you see, love is credible. On the following Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and with violent abuse, contradicted what Paul said. Both Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and condemn yourselves as unworthy of eternal life." You see, the word of God comes to us, and it's our acceptance or rejection that works our own condemnation or salvation. The word is there to be accepted, but if we reject it, then we're rejected. And that's what they're saying here, you see? Now we're going to turn to the Gentiles. "Well, so the Lord has commanded us," and then there's the quote, "I have made you the light to the Gentiles." Now the Gentiles, that is, all the others who were not Jews, who were in Antioch of Pisidia here, were delighted when they heard this, and they glorified the word of the Lord. All who were destined for eternal life came to believe, you see, gathering a people by the word of God. And the word of the Lord continued to spread throughout the whole region. People were telling their cousins and uncles and aunts and neighbors about this reality, Jesus of Nazareth, the very Son of God, who died and rose and broke the back on death so that we need no longer fear death. We could be joined to Christ and pass from this world to the next, and then one day await and receive the transformation even of our bodies for all eternity. That's the good news. And the good news is not just that this happens, that it happens from the depth of the love of God the Father, who's being manifest in all of this, you see? All who were destined for eternal life came to believe, and the word of the Lord continued to spread throughout the whole region. The Jews, however, incited the women of prominence who were worshippers and the leading men of the city. Now, by saying worshippers, that's the translation they're using, you see, they're saying that they were, God-fearers, but they weren't Jews, but they were coming into Judaism. But they stirred them up, and there was a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and they expelled them from their territory. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest and went to Iconium. The disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. And that is the rhythm that you see even today, particularly where the gospel is preached in a credible manner for the first time. It can be out in the wilds of Africa. It can be in the inner city where people have never really heard about Jesus. They've heard the word, but they don't know him. And they don't know his love for them. And that, you see, is what all of this is. You see, it's the good news. And so, they were delighted when they heard this, and they glorified the word of God, this message of God. And this, you see, is the way that people are drawn together. The power and beauty of the truth, when the truth becomes full of light by the action of the Holy Spirit, it attracts the human spirit. And people yield to that fact. We just looked at that. We were looking at, in the very first section, about the role of the will in the act of knowledge, right? In the act of faith. We have the will, you see? Faith resides in the mind, but it's the work of the will to yield to it. Do you remember what we just said about all of that, right? Let me see if I can find some of it quickly for you. Okay, here's this quote. So also in the faith by which we believe in God, there is not only the accepting of the object of assent, but something moving us to the assent. This is a kind of light, the habit of faith, divinely imparted to the human mind. It is more capable of causing assent than any demonstration. Thus this light is an adequate means of making judgments. The habit of faith, however, does not move us by way of the intellect, but rather by way of the will. As a consequence, it does not make us see what we believe, nor does it force our assent, but it causes us to assent to it voluntarily. That's faith. The attractiveness, you see, of faith. The attractiveness of God. This, as we spoke about in the very first section, you see, it's this attractiveness, you see. It's the credibility of love. God loves us. God has forgiven us our sins in Christ, and he wants us to know about that, to experience it, to be baptized, and therefore have a whole new life begin by which we're joined to Christ forever and feed on his body and blood, love one another, tell others, and prepare ourselves by a life of fidelity to the Holy Spirit for a life of eternity with God. And that's what all of this is about, you see? And so, I think I read this quote, but I'll read it again. No one knows himself to have faith except that he perceives himself believing. That's how you know. That's how you do it. You got faith? Well, I don't know. Believe. And you'll experience yourself believing. This is a gift. But you see, it moves in this realm of love. Love is credible. Love elicits this. God comes and offers us himself, eternal life, and pulls at our heartstrings, as it were, so that we will to accept the message, will to accept the truth. This is what Paul and Barnabas are doing here in these towns, the city of Antioch and all the others. They are presenting the reality in a way that people are attracted, they move, and they yield to the light, as this text just said here, you see. Faith does not make us see what we believe, nor does it force our assent, but it causes us to assent voluntarily. It's attractive, and I yield. This is very important. As we strive now to renew the church, you know, and have believers go from being habitual churchgoers to convinced believers living by an experiential faith, that's renewal of the church. And so, this first text is telling us, you see, the Gentiles were delighted when they heard this, and they glorified the word of God, and all who were destined for eternal life came to believe. You see, it's a yielding. That very first text that I read to you, see, the act of faith essentially consists in an act of knowing. That is, its formal or specific perfection. And this is clear from what its object is. The object is God, you know, infinitely intelligible. And so it's a work of the mind, but it's the work of the mind that is dictated, led, commanded by your will, if you will, by the will. It's the light that is so attractive, you see? And that's the credibility of love. Within the very depth of the Trinity, there is this love which spills out into a world of darkness and rebellion to call this whole world back to God. And that's why, you see, only love is credible. And as and these lovely texts we've had looking at here from St. Thomas, you see, that's why, as one of the great old Benedictines, Dom Augustine Baker, used to speak of forced acts of the will. When you're alone, when you're driving in the car, just make acts of faith. Oh God, I believe you. I believe you are one God and three divine persons. I believe that when we sinned and turned away from you, that your only begotten Son, infinite and holy and glorious just as you are, came among us, that he died for us, that he poured out his blood for us, that he set the world right again, and he poured out the Holy Spirit so that this would be a living experience at the very depth of our being, making sense of our whole life. I believe. You see? You can practice. Turn off the radio in the car and just start telling God how you believe. Tell God how you hope. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I look forward to seeing you, being with you, being caught up in that infinite movement of love which you have from all eternity, and I will be part of it for all eternity. This is my hope, not my virtue or my will, but your mercy. And then finally, oh my God, I love you. I prefer you to everything, and I want to love everybody on this globe and find ways to bring them to you out of love. I want to let them see in me, as poor an example as I may be, of your love and the generosity of your love. That's what these acts of the will are that grow out of faith.